What a great day. I love this day. It's you look at the schedule and it's jam-packed, and yet it goes by so fast, and it's just always so good, and the Lord has met with us and he's spoken to my heart on, don't you just love him? He's just wonderful. And you know, you sit and you listen and you know, you can't take in everything, but you sit and you just, there's just like this one little thing that one of them will say, and you grab a hold of that, and the Lord takes you somewhere for a few seconds. And then you tune back in, and then later on there's something else, and you grab that. And so there's just a lot of little words that were fitly spoken that we can take with us, and they can find a deep place in our heart. He is so good. Well, I have four grandchildren. I need to get in on this too. I think they're one of the best things that's ever happened to me. I love them. I love being a grandma, and I am Gammy to two of them and Bitty to the other two. We have three 10-year-olds and an 8-year-old. Two 10-year-old identical twin girls from my oldest daughter, and then from my youngest daughter, who's had been leading us in worship, we have our grandson who is 10, and then our granddaughter who is 8, and they are just, I love it. I just love them. I just, you know, I say, hey, you know, what do you want to do? Hey, you know, let's do it. Let's go play. He might have been 6 or something. I don't know. I took him home and I said, Harrison, what do you want to do? He said, hey, I don't know. How about going to Target and buying a toy? I said, well, that sounds like a good idea to me, so let's go. I love it. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:58? I'm not an Exodus, and I didn't tie it all in, but Moses is in my message, so we'll tie it in that way. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is a promise to us, and we can be confident in that promise that our labor is not in vain, that those things that we do for Jesus, whether it is being a friend, giving a cup of cold water in his name, loving our husbands, loving our children, taking care of our homes, cooking, cleaning, working hard on our jobs, serving in our churches or outside of our churches, all those things that we do for Jesus, they are not in vain. It is not for nothing. Now, I heard a poem years and years and years ago, and I want to read it because it just has stuck with me. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. We lived today in a very difficult and very unstable times, more than any. Everything is escalating today, and the things that can be shaken are being shaken. You look around the world, and I'm not a news addict. I'm not a political person, so I can't take all that information. But what I do see and what I do know, it's scary. It is scary. The depravity of man and what is going on in this world. And then there are very difficult times in our own lives, and a lot of us are being shaken. And I think it's really interesting. I know we're in the last days. And sometimes our faith can be pushed to the limit, and some of us might be in that place today. Maybe you are in that place where you are just flat out ready to give up. You've had it. You can't take one more step. You just can't do this anymore, whatever your this is. You know, we all are in different places, and we all go through different things, and we all hit those hard spots where we're not steadfast and immovable, or we're feeling the pressure against us, and we're having a difficult time. But then there are those times where we truly reach the end of our endurance. It's like we cannot go on one more step. There's too much pain. It hurts too much. You have no more physical strength. You've been battling with this body, and it's just too much. Or you're emotionally stripped. You just can't take one more piece of news. And you can get to that place where you read a verse like this and you just go, how can I be steadfast and immovable when these things in this life, in my circumstances, are coming against me? But I know that the Lord has spoken to us today through Jean and Gisela and Sandy, and I trust that this will be a word fitly spoken for some of you. Some of you might be in that place where you're just absolutely hit the wall. And then others, you know, you might think, well, I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I'm having some tough times, but I wouldn't go that far. Well, I hope this is an encouragement for you too. And for those of you who are saying, nope, I'm doing fine and dandy, I don't know what you're talking about, well, you tuck this away for another time. I tell you. There isn't a person alive who doesn't grow weary at one time or another. We just day things, our daily life, we can get tired from time to time. Probably a lot of us are moms, and you know, you get tired as a mom. Brenda with six kids, I know somebody who's on her 10th, and a 2 was plenty for me. Oh, and 4 grandchildren, I'm real happy with 4 of them. I can remember their names and their birthdays. So far. But I remember even with 2, sometimes I just like, I don't want you to call my name again today. You know, it's always you get tired or you get taken care of your home. A woman's work is never done. You know, you wash those clothes and what happens? They wear them and you have to wash them again. Or you get tired on your job. Maybe you love your job, but you get tired doing that. Maybe you get just tired in serving in your ministries or in relationships. You can grow weary and get tired in that. And all those things can make us tired, but a lot of those things we can then, you know, have a day off and be refreshed. We can get a little note in the mail and we can become refreshed. Those things are real and they happen, but we can quickly get out of it and quickly regain strength. And we go, okay, be steadfast, be immovable. Okay, let's keep going. But there are those things in our lives that hit us that it's really hard to move on. And we hit the wall and wonder, how can I be steadfast and immovable? There are disappointments in life. Things that we thought would happen, we hoped would happen, we prayed they would happen, and they didn't happen because somebody broke their word. somebody didn't do something that we thought they were going to do, and we are very, very disappointed. We have unmet expectations where we are expecting this, we're expecting that, and those things don't happen, and they can be devastating sometimes. Or broken promises. Or some of us can be in a very difficult marriage where it's very one-sided. And you feel like you give and you give and you give and you give and you're not getting anything back. And you're trying to be steadfast and immovable. You're trying to always abound in the work of the Lord, but it's hard and you're hitting the wall. It can be a separation, can be a divorce that has just knocked you for a loop and you don't know what to do. Can be a difficult child, a rebellious child. And you're going around and around in circles in your mind, and it's just emotionally draining and stripping you of all your resources, your energy, your emotions, everything. It can be loneliness, where you're just, I'm tired of being alone. And you've had those disappointments and the unmet expectations. And Lord, why am I alone? And I can't be steadfast and immovable. I'm having a hard time doing that. It can be chronic health problems. We all deal with health issues, but some of them are really hard, really hard. And you think, how can I get out of bed again? It hurts. I'm in pain. They don't have an answer. Whatever it might be, it can be fear, where we deal with fear. Whether it's true fear, just fear in our minds, it's very real. And it's hard to push on, or anxiety, or depression, where it's hard to get out of bed. Why do I feel like this? I don't want to feel like this. But I just want to give up. It could even be suicidal thoughts. And in a room this size with this many people, it's quite possible. Where you are so desperate, you're so at the end of yourself that you can't do it. You feel like you can't do it. You can't move on. And how in the world am I going to do it? Now, those things that I just shared, to some of us, they can just be words. Or we can go maybe a little further and we can go, oh, yeah, that's too bad. You know, when you were not in that spot, or if we've never been in that spot, sometimes it's really hard to put ourselves there. So they can just be words, and we don't fully grasp that there are people and there are women in this room who, when I mentioned some of those things, that hit, because they're there. They're there. It's reality. It's pain. They are living it. Maybe you can't see straight today. Maybe this was your desperate move to come today. Lord, speak to me. Do something in my life to pull me out of this place that I am in. I don't want to be here. Maybe some of you are just so tired. You can hardly move, or the pain is so great you can't. Oh, it's just too overwhelming and you want to numb it. And you've even thought about numbing it in whatever way that you could do that. Well, you're not alone, and sometimes that's nice to know. Actually, a lot of times it's nice to know. Because when we get in those kind of places, the enemy wants to isolate us and make us feel like we are all alone. And what kind of a Christian are you anyway? But you're not alone. There are a lot of women in this room who have been through those things and who have walked through them. They've been steadfast and immovable. And more importantly, Jesus knows. He knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows the pain. He knows the heartache. He knows the thoughts. He knows all those things, and he loves you. He cares. As Gisela shared with us, he is good, and he only does good. As I said, you're not alone. There were great men in the Bible that were in some of those places, that godly men, but they grew weary, and they wanted to quit. They were at that place where it was really hard for them to be steadfast, to be immovable, to always abound in the work of the Lord. They had abounded in the work of the Lord, but they hit that place. Moses was one of them. We've heard about him this morning. An incredible man that God used, and yet he wanted to quit. The people complained against him over and over and over again. They wanted to kill him at times. And he got to a point where he said, God, I don't want to do this. I can't do this anymore. Yet he did. Elijah was another one. Mightily used by the Lord. He was up on Mount Carmel and he had a big showdown with the prophets of Baal. And God showed up. Showed himself very strong. And he used Elijah in that. And afterward, Elijah ran for his life, hid in a cave, and he quit. God, I can't do this anymore. This is hard. I've been serving you. I've been doing all of these things for you. And now look what's happened. Jezebel's going to kill me. I'm all alone. I want to just die. But he didn't. Jeremiah was another one. God used him mightily. And Jeremiah got to the point where he said, I'm not talking. I am not giving out your word anymore because it just makes people hate me. It makes my family come against me. It makes everybody come against me. I'm not talking. And then he said, oh, but your words burned in my heart, and I had to speak them. So each one of them, in a hard place, they were slandered, they were opposed, they were unappreciated, they didn't see the fruit of their labor, and they wanted to quit. But they didn't. They pressed on. The Apostle Paul, he described some of the things that he had gone through. He said that he labored more abundantly than others, in stripes of a measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all of that, there are a lot of other things that come upon me daily. And then my deep concern for all the churches. We can read through that in 2 Corinthians 11. We can read through that, and we probably have, and they can be just words. But when you stop and you put yourself in Paul's place, 5 times I received 40 stripes, we would be gone in after two lashes on us, we'd be gone. 5 times. Beaten with rods, he was stoned, he was left for dead, he was shipwrecked, all those things that as he labored for the Lord and did these things for the Lord, this is what he went through. This is the hardship, the trial that he went through. Now, if you will turn over to 2 Corinthians 1:8. Paul said there, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. the Apostle Paul and those men who traveled with him. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to think that you're the only one that goes through things. This is what happened to us. We were burdened beyond measure. And that word in the Greek, it means great pressure. It means that it would be like putting a very large stone or large boulder on your chest as you're laying down. The pressure of that. Can you just feel that? And you try to take a breath, and the pressure of that, that's how they felt in their situation. That they despaired even of life. They had reached their human ability to endure. They couldn't. I can't breathe. I can't go on. Now, some of you are there, and maybe others have been there, or maybe others you don't relate. I had been there. I think I shared last year that I had a real bad thyroid issue for about 6 years that I didn't know about. So I call that my six-year coma, my coma years, because I honestly felt like I didn't feel like it at the time. I couldn't think. Every part of my body hurt. I had a lot. It was a horrible 6 years, but you don't realize it till you come out of it how bad it really was. Even though when you're in it, you think this is it. I thought I had reached the end of my endurance. 6 years. I mean, just, you know, I'd have good days and bad days, but there are times where I couldn't take one more step. I cannot. We would be traveling or something. I can't take one more step. And yet God gives you the grace, and he gives you the strength, and you take the one more step, and you do it. You think, okay. Then I thought I had reached the end of my endurance, but I had a little bit more to give. And, unfortunately, I take after my dad in that he's a Norwegian, and you can tell the Norwegian, but you can't tell him much sometimes. And they're just, you know, kind of a thing. And I don't know if you've ever been to the doctor or had surgery or whatever, and they ask you, now on a scale of 1 to 10, where's your pain level? You know, that my 8 could be your 3, or your 4 could be my 12. You know, how can you measure pain? You can't measure physical pain, and you can't measure the things that we go through either, because what it is to us is what it is, and what it is to you is what it is. But I felt like I was at the end. I truly did. It was horrible. It was just 6 years. It was bad. But I clung to the Lord, and good. I wouldn't trade those times for anything. But I really could take the next step. Thankful for his grace. But you know, a little over a year ago, after I got on the right medication and got well and came out of my coma, had a brain again and energy and all that, which has been, and that was a little convicting, Gisela, because I was thanking the Lord every single day for a very long time. Then I did every other day. Lord, thank you. Thank you. You pulled me out of that. But I was just coming out of that, and I got hit with the worst trial of my life. It was not a 10, it was a 110. It was, you know, for me, and again, it could have been your 4, but for me, it wasn't. And I even thought at times, Lord, I will take my coma if you will make this go away. I will live the rest of my life the way I had. because that only affected me. If you can make this go away. I truly had hit the end of my endurance. I got scared. You're so fragile. And maybe you're there. And I don't like sharing this, but I think it will help somebody today, because you might be there where you think, that's it, I just can't, and I couldn't, and I got scared. Because when you're in that place, it's a scary place, because there's temptations that you're having trouble resisting. There's things in your mind that you're having trouble dealing with because you're at the end. It's beyond human ability. Oh, it's beyond measure. Could not do this. And the Lord led me to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Karen, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I clung to that verse. And I asked some friends to pray that verse for me, because I thought, I can't do this. I cannot do this. So I asked them, would you please just pray? And some of them knew a little bit of what I was going through, and others didn't know they obviously knew I was going through something. But I asked them, would you just pray this? Pray it every day for me if you can. Because I'm afraid. I am afraid. And I thought, if I have one more phone call, one more email, one more conversation, one more, I can't do it. I can't do it. You just want to shut down. And then I said, Lord, how? I can't do this. How can I be steadfast and immovable? How can I do this? I need you to do this. I knew that. I knew I couldn't do it, but I needed him to do it. But even in that state, how are you going to do it, Lord? How are you going to do this? I don't have anything to give. But I made it through. And I made it through. I really believe in prayer. And if you are in that place, would you ask your friends or somebody or some group to pray for you? Have them pray that scripture for you. And to commit to praying for you. How did Paul, when he said that he despaired of even life itself? How did he do that? And as I sat and I would just cry out to the Lord, he led me to, and I didn't write the reference down, but Paul says in Corinthians somewhere, it's the love of Christ that constrains me. Not my love for Christ. It's the love of Christ that constrains me. It's Jesus' love for me that got me through that time. His love for me, that I could move on. Jesus, because of your love, I will do this. I will take another step. I will take another breath. Because sometimes the pain can get so hard that your heart hurts. It really hurts physically, if you've been there. And it's scary because you think one of these times it's just going to stop. Just stop beating. But Jesus, I will take another breath for you. And Jesus, I will do this that you've called me to for you. And I will continue to walk, and I will continue to do what you have called me to do, because you love me. And you are the only reason, the only reason that I will do this, because I can't do it for other people. His love compels me. His love drives me. And Jesus said, I don't want you to give up. I don't want you to give up. And he says to you today, I don't want you to give up. his great love for us. Paul goes on to say in the next verse, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 1, "Yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead." It is the power of God, the love of Christ, and the power of God that we can be steadfast and immovable. Doesn't matter who you are. I mean, if you are the toughest woman around, German, Norwegian, what are those other countries that are tough? I don't know who they are, but I'm a Viking, you know? We can do it. No, you can't. No, you can't. But I can do it through you, Jesus said. It's my love and the power of my Holy Spirit. And I have experienced the power of his Holy Spirit. When you don't even want to get out of bed, you can't, your heart hurts, you can't do it. You just can't do it. And he reaches down and he said, "But I can. And by the power of my Spirit, and I will pour my Spirit out upon you and give you the strength to get up, get your eyes off yourself, and always abound in the work of the Lord." Karen, always abound in the work of the Lord. Quit looking at all of these things that are hurting you, that you don't want to be there, and you just get your eyes on me, and you serve me with all of your heart. All of your heart. Do my work that I've called you to do. And one step at a time. That's what I did, and I know that's what you can do. Because of the power of his Spirit, his love, and you can weather that storm that you're in, and you can be steadfast, you can be immovable, you can always abound in the work of the Lord, because your labor, all these things we're doing for the Lord by his strength and his grace and his power, they're not in vain. Do you know how much Jesus loves you today? You who are in that hard place, do you know that? He loves you, and his power is no less in your life than it was in Moses' life, in Elijah, in Jeremiah, in Paul, and any of those great men of the Bible, or these men and women today. His power is for you, not just for them, but for you. And he will give you the strength, and he will give you the grace to get through this hard time. He will give you the grace, he will give you the strength to be steadfast and immovable in that relationship you're in that you're ready to quit. He will give you the strength as you serve him in this. Lord, I will not do it for anybody else but you. I will love this man. I will love these children. I will love this person. I will work as unto you because of your love for me. I will do this for you. He does not want you to give up. He wants you to be steadfast and immovable. And Gisela already referenced this, Psalm 18. You can, by him, run against a troop, and by your God, you can leap over a wall. It is God who arms you with strength and makes your way perfect. Don't give up today. Don't quit. This can be a turning point. This can be a turning point for you. Whatever trial you are in, however hard it is worth it. Do you know why it is worth it? Do you know why it is worth enduring this? Because he is worth it. That's all. He is worth it, and that's enough. That's why we do what we do. That's why we live and we breathe. Because he is worthy. He is worth it. That is who we live for. It's worth the pain. It is worth the pain. And can I be so bold in just saying too, that if you're in that time, enjoy it. It is sweet fellowship of his sufferings. It is sweet fellowship with the Lord during that time. And You don't get that on the mountaintops. You get that in the valley of the shadow of death. You get that in the depths of despair. Enjoy it. He is so good, and he is working in you. So please, sisters, please, don't give up. You have a God who loves you. You have a God who will empower you to love, to press on, to do whatever needs to be done in your circumstance, even though nothing may change. He will give you the grace, and he will give you the power to do that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for being so good and so gracious to us, Lord. Thank you for those who have gone before us, that we can look at their lives and the power of their testimony, that when they wanted to quit, you came in, you fixed their eyes on you, and you gave them the power to endure, to press on, and to do great, mighty things for you.